لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madin channel, welcome again in the silsila In the Light of Quran. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated, anyone who recites one time durood upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 times mercies upon him. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madri channel, as you know that in this silsila, we discuss some certain verses of Quran, and in last silsila, we were discussing al-muttaqeen, those people who are muttaqi. Now, if we see taqwa, so if we see the lifestyle of our pious predecessors, we come to know that they were the real embodiment of taqwa. Imam-e-Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, it is written in his biography that for 40 years he had been offering his Fajr Salah with the wuzu of Isha Salah. And it is also written in his biography that the place where he passed away, on that very place, he had recited 7,000 times complete Quran. It is written in the biography of Hazrat Abu Talib Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala that because of taqwa, he left eating the normal food, and because of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of attaining the real status of muttaqeen, he started eating grass. And because of grass, his entire body got green. And if we see the Buzurganuddin of our near past, for example, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was also a true embodiment of taqwa. Once in the lifetime of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was invited as a guest. So he went there, and there was a big tray of kheer in front of him. He took two, three spoons from it, and he wanted to give few spoons of kheer to another disciple of him. But before giving to that other disciple, he asked the host that, am I permitted to give few spoons full of kheer to that disciple? So the host said, that the entire, everything is in your possession, Huzur. You are owner of this and you can give. So that time, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, showing the real taqwa, told him the shari masala, that being a guest, all these things are amanat for me. And it is not permissible for me as a guest to give anything from it to anyone without the permission of the host. Dear viewers of Madri channel, when we see these kind of examples from the lives of our pious predecessors, we realize that taqwa is very difficult. But on the other hand, there are many other definitions of taqwa as well. When we read them, we think that taqwa is not very difficult. So let's go to the court of Mufti Saab and ask him first question of today, that what is the reason, Mufti Saab, that sometimes when we read a definition of taqwa, it appears that it is very easy. But when we see the lifestyle of our some predecessors, we come to know that taqwa is something inaccessible for us and it is very difficult.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we know, taqwa is very important, and Quran, in the Quran, there are hundreds of ayah about taqwa. As in this ayah, hudan lil muttaqin, then uiddat lil muttaqin, then ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi, then ya ayyuhal nasu taqoo rabbakum. There are many other ayah which can be quoted for the importance of taqwa. So, when we read the biographies of our predecessors and Salaf Salihin, so we come to know there are many kinds of taqwa, because in the life of some people there are some other kinds of taqwa, in the life of other people there are some other kinds of taqwa. So basically it depends upon the kind of that taqwa. So Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi has summarized the kinds of taqwa in a very beautiful way. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned there are 7 kinds of taqwa. So basically these are the actual kinds of taqwa. So when we listen to the commandment of Quran about having taqwa, about adopting taqwa, so most of the time the kind of taqwa which are mentioned in those ayah is different. And when we read in the biographies of scholars and biographies of awliya kiram, that is other kind of taqwa, that is not highly emphasized, and that is not obligatory, that is not fard and wajib, but that is also desirable. So what are the kind of taqwa? Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah has mentioned, and that has been mentioned in Tafsir Khazainul Irfan, written by Sadrul Fadil Maulana Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayh. He has quoted the quotation of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. There are 7 kinds of taqwa, because the meaning of taqwa was to abstain from harmful thing. So abstaining, the first kind of taqwa is to abstain from kufr and shirk, to abstain from infidelity and associating partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the first kind, and that is the most important kind of taqwa. The second kind of taqwa, to abstain from major sins, to abstain from misguidedness, means the person would remain Muslim, but he adopts those beliefs which are not actually beliefs of Islam, and those beliefs are away from the mainstream of Muslims. Mainstream Muslim, those beliefs are away. That is the second kind of taqwa. The third kind of taqwa, to abstain from major sins. The fourth kind of taqwa, to abstain from minor sins. And the fifth kind of taqwa, to abstain from doubtful things. We are not confirmed that whether that is sin or that is not sin, but because there is doubt, so to abstain from that is also desirable. And the sixth kind of taqwa is to abstain from the desires of our baser self. So that is the sixth kind. And the seventh kind of taqwa, to abstain from all those things which can lead a person away from the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So basically these are 7 kinds. When Quran commands us to adopt taqwa, so Quran commands us to adopt first 4 kinds basically. And when we read the stories and parables of taqwa in the biographies of scholar, in the biographies of awliya kiram, so mostly the early 4 kinds are also found in those, but mostly the fifth kind, the sixth kind, and the seventh kind is found in their biographies. So when a person is not clear about these kinds of taqwa, then he can be doubtful or he can be confused. So when a person has proper knowledge about these kind, so then he would refer the stories of awliya kiram to the relevant kind of that taqwa.
Azim Musab, different kinds of taqwa which you told us, so there must be some kinds of taqwa which are wajib and some others which are ghair-e wajib, not wajib, compulsory for us. So my question is that as for those which are wajib, so from how can we learn the wajib kinds of taqwa, and from where we can have knowledge regarding them?
As we have mentioned, there are 4 kinds of taqwa. Ji. And early 4 kinds, there are many kinds of taqwa. Ji. And early 4 kinds of taqwa are wajib. Which are those? To abstain from infidelity, to abstain from misguidedness, to abstain from major sins, to abstain from minor sins. Because everyone knows to abstain from all these things is compulsory, and that is wajib upon us. So, and then the fifth kind might be wajib, might not be wajib, because it depends upon the intensity of that doubt. Might be the doubt is very heavy, and because of that, to abstain from that doubt would be wajib, and sometimes the intensity of that doubt is not very high. So in that condition, to get that taqwa would be wajib. But early four kinds, that those are wajib. So now how can we achieve those states of taqwa? So the best way to to learn knowledge, to get proper Islamic knowledge regarding those. For example, if we have to abstain from infidelity and from disbelief, so the basic source would be get Islamic knowledge about beliefs. And for that purpose, I would recommend two books. The one book is the first part of Bahar-e Shariat, because the first part of Bahar-e Shariat is about Islamic beliefs. What are our beliefs about Almighty Allah? What are our beliefs about the prophets? What are our beliefs about the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Then about angels, jinns, and hell and paradise and the day of judgment and our fate and our destiny. So what are our Islamic beliefs about those? So when we get the knowledge of that first part of Bahar-e Shariat, at least we would be aware of those Islamic beliefs. Now we can protect ourselves from any kind of mistakes regarding those Islamic beliefs. That is one book. And the second book, the book of Amir al-Sunnat, written by Amir al-Sunnat, Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab, question and answer regarding blasphemous sentences. That is also very important, and there is another advantage in that book. The book is very easy in simple language that has been written, but that is available only in Urdu, not in English. But those people who can read Urdu, so that would be very beneficial for them. So they must read this book. And inshallah, this book would be very beneficial in this regard to learn about Islamic beliefs, and particularly to protect ourselves from any mistake regarding Islamic beliefs. So that is the first kind of taqwa which could be acquired through being aware of these books, through reading these books. Then the other book, which is very beautiful book, Jannat Mein Le Jane Wale Amal, good deeds which lead a person towards paradise. That is also very good book, because in that book there are many Islamic commandments which are wajib and farz, and to carry out farz and wajibat is also compulsory, and those are also kind of taqwa. Then the third book, then the fourth book, Jahannam Mein Le Jane Wale Amal, that is the translation of Arabic book by Allama Ibn Hajar Makki Rahmatullah Alayh, Az-Zawajir Fi Ikhtilaf Al-Kabair. So that book is about major sins. Not only major sins, the name is about major sins, but in the book, the major and minor both have been mentioned, both have been written. So to read that book is very important, because when we come to know, when we get the knowledge of major sins and minor sins, that time we can prevent ourselves from those sins. Otherwise, when we don't have knowledge, so then we might fall. Fall into those sins. Then the book of Amir al-Sunnat, Neki ki Dawat and Ghibat ki Tabahkariya. Neki ki Dawat, that is the chapter of Faizan-e-Sunnat, and then about backbiting. Because in these two books, Neki ki Dawat and about backbiting, so though the topic of these two books is specific, but the content is not specific. As in the book of backbiting, there are many other sins have been mentioned. The definitions have been provided in those. So through reading these books, we can learn a lot of Islamic knowledge about major sins and minor sins. So that is very, very beautiful book. If we read those, so inshallah, we will be aware of major sins and minor sins. To abstain from them is taqwa. To abstain from those sins is taqwa. And then there is another book, which, because major sins and minor sins doesn't only belong to our apparent sins. Those major sins and minor sins belong to the disease, the spiritual diseases of our hearts as well. As jealousy, as envy, as arrogance, as having negative thoughts about other people. So there is a particular list, there is a specific list about major sins and minor sins of the hearts as well. So to learn about those sins is also very important to get that kind of taqwa, the early stages of taqwa. So for that purpose, I would suggest the 16th part of Bahar-e Shariat, because in that part, that is a very beautiful part about the information and about the Sharia commandments regarding these sins. And then other than that, there is a very beautiful book published by Maktabat al-Madina about spiritual diseases that is available on internet now. And inshallah, within a few months, that would be available in a hard copy as well in English. That is available in English. Originally, that has been written in Urdu, but in English,
alhamdulillah,
batini bimariyon ke bare mein malumat in Urdu and spiritual diseases, that is in English. And that is available on the website of Dawat Islami. So, to read that book is also very important. That is also very beneficial. So, I think if someone reads these books, so at least he would learn basic commandments of Islam regarding these four kinds of taqwa. And when we get the knowledge about these four kinds of taqwa, after that it depends upon us to abstain from that or not. So then we need some encouragement, we need some courage, and we need some motivation. For that purpose, alhamdulillah, the environment of Dawat Islam is available. And other than that, alhamdulillah, these books themselves are very, very useful, and these are very motivational books. If we read those books, so inshallah, through reading these books, inshallah, we will get that intention to abstain from these sins.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, as Mufti Saab educated us, as Mufti Saab, told us that taqwa is of two types, wajib taqwa and ghair wajib taqwa. So wajib taqwa means a taqwa which is compulsory upon each and every Muslim. But as for ghair wajib taqwa is concerned, so believe me, if we want to reach the heights of iman, then we have to observe that taqwa as well, which is although not compulsory upon us, but still it will lead us to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who are able to attain all the ranks of taqwa, they are those people who are beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are those people who have been granted special closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that we must have little bit information about that taqwa as well, which is although not compulsory upon us, but it will lead us towards the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mufti Saab, if one is interested in those kinds of taqwa as well, which are ghair-e-wajib, so how can he attain those kinds? And if it is possible, elaborate this point with some examples so that we can understand easily.
Basically, the seventh kind of taqwa, that is the highest rank of taqwa. And mostly, the detail of that kind of taqwa is not written in books. But the other three kinds, to abstain from doubtful things, to abstain from the desires of our baser self. So these two kinds have been mentioned in detail. So I would say in the same source, what I have mentioned regarding first four kinds of taqwa. So as in the book Jannat Mein Le Jaane Wale Amal, so a lot of content about fifth and sixth kind. Abstaining from doubtful and the next one. So a lot of content is available in that book Jannat Mere Jaane Wale Amal. Then in the book of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, in Minhaj Al-Abidin, then in Qima Sa'adat, then in Ihya Al-Ulum. So in these books, alhamdulillah, a lot of content is available regarding that. So if we read these books as Ihya Al-Ulum and Minhaj Al-Abidin and Qima Sa'adat and Jannat Mere Jaane Wale Amal, and then again I would recommend the 16th part of Bahari Shariat, because in that 16th part there is mashallah very beautiful content regarding these kind of taqwa as well. So and basically what is that kind? As patience, to be patient at the time of problems and troubles, that is also kind of taqwa, that is also one kind of taqwa. Then expressing our gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal at the time of prosperity and at the time of having the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is also one kind of taqwa. Then having trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, that is also one kind of taqwa. Then to be well behaved with our neighbors, and to smile in the face of Muslim. So these are also kinds of taqwa. And the content regarding these kinds of taqwa are available in these books. So I would request that if we read these books, so inshallah, we will get proper information regarding that taqwa as well, particularly in the books of Ihya Al-Ulum, because Ihya Al-Ulum is one of the biggest collection regarding matter of tasawwuf, regarding matter of taqwa. So if we read Hiyal Ulum, say inshallah, very easily we can get the knowledge of these kind of taqwa as well.
The viewers of Madni channel, you must have come across many people when you talk to them regarding salah or siyam or other farais and wajibat of our beautiful religion. So they say that the real thing is that you got love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, so you got taqwa in your heart and you need not to indulge yourself in these physical activities. So these people, they deny the physical, or how can I say, the worships or acts of ibadat, and they forbid others from, in one way or other, from doing these ibadats as well. And sometimes they have been heard quoting this hadith as well, that at-taqwa hahuna, that once Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam was asked what is taqwa, so then Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the summary of the hadith, that taqwa is in your heart, taqwa is here. So they also say that taqwa is in heart and we are not in need of performing any rituals, meaning any worship. So let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him, Mufti Sahib, how can we answer these type of people who always believe in the state of their heart and they deny other worships and ibadats?
Basically, the basic sentence is accurate, that is right, because that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had described at-taqwa hahuna, taqwa is here. And there are many other ahadith about the importance of heart as well, as there is a very beautiful and very famous hadith, ala inna fil jasadi mudghatan idha salahat salahul jasad kulluhu wa idha fasad fasadul jasad kulluhu ala wahiyal qalb. There is a piece of flesh in the body of a person. If that gets reformed, the whole body would get reformed, and if that gets disturbed, so the whole body would be disturbed. And listen, that is heart. So in that hadith the importance of heart has been mentioned. But sometimes people take some ahadith, or they mention some ahadith, but when they take the meanings of those ahadith, they misinterpret. For example, when we are discussing about the matter of taqwa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had described at-taqwa hauna, taqwa is here, means in the heart. Now I would recite again those ayat which are about taqwa, which we have mentioned in the beginning of our silsila. Hudal lil muttaqin alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib wa yuqimuna as-sala wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. So what kind of qualities have been mentioned in those? To believe in unseen thing, to establish prayer, to spend in the path of Allah, to believe in previous books, to believe in Quran, to be certain about akhirah, to forgive other people, to do good with other people, and to suppress our anger, and to forgive our people. So these are the qualities which have been mentioned in Quran regarding taqwa and about the qualities of muttaqi people. So when Quran has described the qualities of muttaqin, and those qualities don't belong to heart, all those qualities don't belong to heart. Having belief belongs to heart. Then having trust in Allah, that belongs to heart. Then paying gratitude to Allah, that belongs to heart. But every worship doesn't belong to heart. As establishing prayer, as spending in the path of Allah, that doesn't belong to heart. So now what is the meaning of the hadith, of the saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described at-taqwa hahuna, and then there is a piece of flesh in the body, if that gets right, the whole body would be right. So what is the meaning of that hadith? So basically, I would say there are two things. First, the place of intention is our heart. The reward of every act depends upon intention, and intention is done by heart. Intention is done by heart, because intention is the act of our heart. So if our intention is right, we can get taqwa, and if our intention is wrong, we can't get taqwa. For example, even offering prayer is the practice of our body. But when we are offering prayer, if our intention is right, means for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal or to fulfill our duty and responsibility, then we will get a reward of those prayers. But if our intention is showing off, so then though we are offering prayer and we are fulfilling our apparent duties and we are doing all the actions of prayer, but when our intention is showing off, that prayer is not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is not acceptable. So it means taqwa starts from heart. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah accepts only from muttaqin. And the place of taqwa is our heart. And in which meaning? Because the heart is the place of intention. We make intentions with our heart, so it means the whole taqwa depends upon our heart in the sense of intention. If the intention is right, then we will get a reward. And if the intention is wrong, then we would be deprived of our reward of those good deeds. So basically, it doesn't mean that the taqwa is confined in our heart. The meaning of that hadith is this, that taqwa starts from heart. Taqwa starts from our heart. If our heart is corrected, then our actions are also corrected. And if our heart is not right, then our deeds are also not right. Otherwise, taqwa has many meanings as we have described in detail. So, every kind of taqwa would belong to the relative part of body, to the relative things, as to abstain from backbiting. So, that is the job of our tongue, because we will abstain from backbiting through stopping our tongue from doing backbiting. So that kind of taqwa depends upon our tongue. So that doesn't depend upon our heart. But because we will abstain from backbiting when we have that desire, when we have that intention, when we have that motivation, when we have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in our heart, that time we will abstain from backbiting. So it means, if we are abstaining from backbiting, if we are abstaining from teasing other people, if we are abstaining from abusing other people, though abusing is the act of our tongue, but we will be abstaining from backbiting, for abusing, when we have intention in our hearts. So in that way, it has been said, At-taqwa hauna, the place of taqwa is our heart.
So what about those people who deny, they only care, I mean, they only pay their attention towards their hearts and they don't offer their worship? So what is the hukum of Sharia regarding?
Sometimes it depends upon those people who are uttering these words. For example, if they are really awliya-i-kiram, if they are really friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, so then we will take their words in good meanings. Okay, and if they are common people and they are ignorant people and they are uttering these words, so then now the commandment of Sharia would depend upon the intensity of their sentences. If they are denying worships which are obligatory and which are very obvious and which are the pillars of Islam, if they are denying those worships, so then the command would be very severe about them. And if they are saying something else, so it depends upon the intention and it depends upon the nature of their sentence, what kind of sentence they are uttering.
Hashim Ustad, I mean, we have learned about many kinds of taqwa and then many excellences of taqwa as well. So at the end, the most important thing which I want to learn personally as well, and must be viewers of Madri channel as well, so how can we attain and acquire the real taqwa, the taqwa which is going to make us beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the day of judgment we will be amongst those people who are really the favorite ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
There are many ways of attaining taqwa, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran those methods. For example, the very beautiful method and very easy method is to do muhasaba, to do our own accountability. As Allah Azza wa Jalla described in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghadin wa taqullaha. In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has emphasized upon us to think about our deeds, what kind of deeds we have forwarded to our akhirah. So what kind of deeds we have done, we must be very careful about those, and we must ponder upon those. So what kind of actions we have done in this world. So really, that is one of the best method of attaining piety and attaining taqwa, because that is a practice of our grand scholars and our grand awliya ikram, because they took a lot of time for only their meditation, for their accountability, and they thought about their deeds, they thought about their practices, what kind of practices they are doing, and what kind of good deeds they are presenting in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal, and what kind of practice they have done and they will present in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether those deeds deserve to be present in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal or not. So that's why I would say accountability, self-accountability is very important in that regard. That's why as we have mentioned in many other silsilas as well, about Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, so he was Sayyidul Muttaqin, he was one of the biggest Muttaqin person, but he did that self-accountability many times, and in some narrations regarding him, that he used to do his self-accountability on daily basis. Daily he used to do his self-accountability, and he asked himself about his deeds, what he has done at daytime, what kind of behavior he has shown towards other Muslims. So when that kind of self-accountability was done by that kind of personality, means Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so what would be about other? So that's why if we think about our deeds on the day of judgment, we have to be present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So our deeds are like that we can present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, or we would be ashamed of our deeds, so that self-accountability is very beneficial to attain piety. Then the second method is to offer prayer properly, means to after observing all the manners of prayer, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, indeed prayer prevents from any wrong thing and from any immodest thing. So to abstain, to protect ourselves from wrong things, from sins, from immodesty, that is the meaning of taqwa. So it shows, that ayah shows, prayer is one of the best source for attaining piety. And then Allah Azza wa Jal said in the last of that ayah, wala dhikrullahi akbar, then the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is the biggest. If the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is prayer, so then it shows that offering prayer is the kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is one of the best means to attaining piety. And if that is separate from offering prayer is also the kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, but if that is separate and the word of wala dhikrullah akbar is separate, so then it shows that though through offering prayer we can attain piety, but remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is the biggest thing. Means if we remember Allah Azza wa Jal in abundantly we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, then we can get piety through that means as well. And as we have observed and we have read, we have studied in the biographies of awliya kiram, they have spent their whole life in remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. From morning to evening, from evening to morning, they remain busy in remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and alhamdulillah, through that they attained the highest rank of piety through remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is another way to attain the piety. Then the other thing is to be careful about committing sins. Means we have to make our mind to abstain from every kind of sin, whether that is major or minor. When we make our mind in that way, so then when we abstain from major sins and minor sins, that is the meaning of taqwa. So taqwa is already there when we are abstaining from major sins and minor sins, and because taqwa belongs to heart, as in that hadith it has been mentioned, a taqwa ha huna. So when taqwa belongs to our heart, and there is one ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla had described, kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun, because of their bad deeds there is a stain over their hearts, there is a stain over their hearts. So what is that stain? That stain is the stain of bad deed, that is the stain of sins. So, and to remove those stains from our hearts, that is the meaning of taqwa. So if we abstain from major sins and minor sins and we make our mind in that way, so ultimately we will get piety and we will get taqwa.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, muhasaba and muraqaba is one of the most important and essential component of that remedy through which we can attain taqwa. Talking about muhasaba and muraqaba, if you see the life, if you see the biographies of ulama-e kiram, so you will definitely learn many things, like many things of muhasaba and muraqaba. For example, I read somewhere that one of our pious predecessors, he had a bad desire, he had bad intention of committing the major sin in his heart, but before he extended his hand towards that major sin, he, speaking to his nafs, told him that you will not be able to bear the punishment of hellfire on the day of judgment because of this major sin, and if you can bear, then let's test ourselves. So Wali of Allah puts his hand over a burning candle, and that time his nafs is unable to bear that punishment, and addressing to his nafs, that Wali of Allah says that when you are unable to bear the pain of this burning candle, then how will you be able to bear the pain and the severe punishment on the day of judgment in the fire of hell? The viewers of Madani channel, really muhasaba and muraqaba is very important thing, but the more important thing is that how can we do muraqaba and muhasaba. So let's ask Mufti Sahab that, Mufti Sahab, what is the best way of doing muhasaba and muraqaba? And then I also want to know, what is muhasaba and what is muraqaba in brief, I mean definition.
Muhasaba and muraqaba, both are very easy, and I think these are the easiest job what we can do. For example, if we have to offer prayer, we have to make wuzu, we have to stand up for that, and we have to do some certain activities. If we have to pay zakah, we have to spend in the path of Allah, so we have to use our wealth, our money in the path of Allah. If we have to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, so we have to twist, we have to move our tongue for that. But muhasaba and muraqaba are those things which we don't need any kind of movement. If we close our eye and if we are not moving our lips, in spite of that, we can do muraqaba and muhasaba. Because what is the meaning of muraqaba and muhasaba? Muhasaba is self-accountability, means to think about our deeds, to think about our hereafter, to think about our matters which would come in front of us after our death and at the time of our death. So when that is the meaning of muhasaba, that is the easiest job, because we are not doing any activity, but in spite of that we are doing muhasaba and we are doing muraqaba. So now what kind of muhasaba and muraqaba we should do? So awliya kiram and ulama kiram, they have mentioned many ways of doing muraqaba. We can do muraqaba of death, we can do muraqaba means meditation, we can do meditation of death, we can do meditation about our graves matter, we can do meditation about our matters on the day of judgment. We have to be present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So really, and now what is the way? Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mulariya has mentioned in many booklets the way of muhasaba. Muhasaba must not conducted when we are in the company of many people and there is a noise and the people are talking and they are speaking and they are shouting. If that time we are doing muraqaba and muhasaba, so that doesn't have any worth. Sitting alone, then we should think about our death. The death will come, we have to depart from this world, and the angel of death will come, and he will depart our soul from our body, and he will take out our soul from our body. So then it must happen to us, and we have to depart from this world, and we have to leave all our luxuries and our all the matters of world. So we have to prepare for that time. Then we have to be lowered into our graves. The angels will come. They will ask questions. We have to answer them. So what would be our condition that time? Would we be successful in answering the questions of those angels, or would we be madallah fair in those? So if we think about that again and again, then the punishment of grave and the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal in grave, what we receive. So, and then about the day of judgment, that about on the day of judgment we have to be present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. We would be asked about our deeds, whether those are good or bad. Then there would be hellfire, and there would be all the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, all the human beings would be there, all prophets would be there, all awliya kiram would be there, and we have to answer about, we have to give answers about our deeds, what we have committed or conducted in our lives. If those are good, so we would be happy, and if those would be bad, those would be sins, so then we have to face shame and insult, and we might face punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal. So if we think about these matters which must happen to us at our death, after our death, on the day of judgment, so then we think about these matters again and again. So really these things soften our hearts, and that would be the best method of best method of muhasabah and muraqabah. Then there is another way, and that way is very useful, and that is very useful, and that is comfortable as well. As for getting success in our worldly matters, if we prepare our to-do list, daily to-do list, weekly to-do list, monthly to-do list, or annual to-do list, similarly we should prepare our daily and weekly and monthly to-do list according to our good deeds. We should prepare our these kind of lists, because sometimes we get some passion, we get some courage, we get some motivation to do any good deed, but after a few days we forget. When we forget, then we leave those good deeds. But if we have written those good deeds in our diary, and that diary is with us, and we are used to looking into that diary on daily basis, so then easily we can remember those good deeds. And we can conduct those good deeds very easily. And alhamdulillah, for that purpose, the Madani Inamat in Dawat Islami, that is actually daily to-do list, weekly to-do list, and monthly to-do list for us. So if we act upon these Madani Inamat, so alhamdulillah, in that way we can do that muhasabah and muraqabah very easily. And that is one kind of muhasabah, and that is one kind of muraqabah if we do that.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, really the muhasabah and muraqabah is very important. And in order to attain muhasabah and muraqabah, the simplest recipe, if you want, so that is Madani Inamat card. Amir Ahle Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Ul Aliyah, with his insight to improve the conditions of our heart and to improve the conditions of our iman, granted us Madani Inamat card. Really, if we are filling up the Madani Inamat card every day at least, or on weekly basis, so inshallah we will really be able to increase the level of taqwa and piety in our hearts. Acha Musa, you answering to the question how to attain and acquire taqwa, you said that by salah we can also acquire taqwa. So, but sometimes it has been observed that some people, they are very punctual in their salah, but still we don't find that kind of taqwa or piety in their character which we are expecting from them being a punctual musalli. So what is the reason that in spite of being musalli, still they are unable to have that kind of pious character?
We can get piety through offering prayer. That is confirmed, because that has been mentioned in Quran. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. That is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is that is one kind of information which Allah Azza wa Jal is providing us, that prayer will prevent you from bad things and from immodesty. That is one kind of confirmation which has been granted to us from Allah Azza wa Jal, that we must get piety, we must attain piety through offering prayer. So now if we are offering prayer and in spite of that we are not getting that piety, so there must be a shortcoming, there must be shortcoming in our offering prayer. We are not fulfilling the manners of prayer. That's why we are not getting that kind of piety. And as there is one hadith, what are the manners? So there are many manners. But in one hadith, those manners have been mentioned in very beautiful way in one word that have been mentioned. What is that? Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, mal ihsan? What is ihsan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam answered, Al ihsan an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara, fa illam takun tara fa innahu yarak. The meaning of ihsan is this, that you worship Allah Azza wa Jal as Allah, you are watching Allah Azza wa Jal, you are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. You should worship Allah Azza wa Jal as you are in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and you are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you can't take that imagination in your mind, so then believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. So when Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you, if we offer prayer with that imagination and with that belief, so then that prayer would prevent us from immodesty and from sins. And that prayer will lead us to taqwa. And through these kind of prayers, we can get piety and we can attain piety.
The viewers of Madani channel, indeed Salah is a tool and instrument which will grant us taqwa. But it is also very essential that our Salah must be like the Salah of those people who were really muttaqi and pious people. Either when we are offering our Salah, we should think that we are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are watching in. And if it is not possible, then at least we should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. So in this way, when we are reading, when we are offering our Salah in the divine presence, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then we will be able to attain the real benefits and fruits of Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a real pious and practicing Muslim and grant us taqwa and the sweetness of Iman. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran in the light.